What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Mind Over Macros podcast. As always, I'm your host, Mike Milner. It's that time of the week. It's the Coach's Compass, my favorite time to talk to my favorite people. If you're a Mind Over Macros listener, you're my favorite person. That's just pretty straightforward. This is going to be an important, every episode is important, but this is going to be especially important as I had a really insightful call this past week with a coach who did something that is quite impressive. Not many coaches can make this claim. This particular coach scaled his nutrition coaching business all the way up to a $250,000 month. I didn't say quarter. I didn't say year. $250,000 month. That was last year. And he was on the phone with me a couple days ago, as of recording this, a couple days ago. And since then, it has been panic time. He's worried about his staff. He's worried about the health of his business. His profit margin is zero, like zero. They are profitable $0. And this is not at all to send out the alarms. This is not at all to evoke any sort of fear. It's to have a conversation about why this is happening more frequently in the coaching space. And more importantly, what you can do about it. Because this is actually a good thing. I mean, his situation is unfortunate, but it's not a dire situation. He's not in, he's in panic mode, but the business is not in panic mode, if that makes sense. Like, as the owner, as the entrepreneur, it's easy for us to feel the pressure, which that, by the way, that never goes away. I feel the pressure every single day of my life, you know, to provide for my team and to, you know, build something that allows them to support their families. And I also want to support, you know, my life and my family. You know, there's also that part of it. And that pressure never goes away. But this shift that has undoubtedly happened, and, you know, whatever you want to believe, you can listen to whoever you want to listen to. It is undoubted. It is, you cannot doubt it. I'm going to stop trying to pronounce words. We're going to speak at a second grade level. You cannot doubt the shift that has happened in the coaching space. It used to be so easy to make an offer for coaching and to enroll new clients. Even as little as 2 years ago. I mean, 2021 for me, I felt like I had a cheat code. I literally felt like I had a cheat code. I was like, this is the easy, I can't believe how easy this is. And I thought it would continue that way forever. So actually the first thing that I shared with him was the best month, worst month paradigm, which is, as humans, we tend to think that our best is our normal, but it is our best. And that means that we have never done it before. So when he hit that $250,000 month, he processed that, which is just a human cognitive bias that we all have. He processed that as if that was the new normal, that every month at that point, because he hit that milestone, it's like, okay, great. Now every month is going to be at least $250,000. And we quickly learn through experience that that doesn't happen. Now, if you're like me, you have to learn the lesson multiple times. I've gone through this. I had, 2019? I had a massive challenge launch that I did. And I was like, this is great. Like, and this was, you know, I was running that challenge. The profit margins were super high. And I remember being in San Diego, I believe, with Mel. And I'm like, we can take, you know, we can fly first class. We can do all the things. Like, we just crushed this challenge launch. And like, times are going to be good. And then quickly, realized after going through 2020, which was a weird year, that we're in a pretty dire situation. And then 2021 happened, and it was like a cheat code, and just like, oh my God, this is so easy. And then the end of 2021, I started making all these ridiculous financial decisions based off of, you know, my best months and seeing revenue just creep up and up and up. And I'm like, cool, this is going to be the new normal. And once again, I made the same mistake. Now I am super hyper aware of playing defense. When, like, Mel can even, she mentioned this, we were on our walk, and, you know, she was like, oh, how's March turning out? I was like, it's actually a really good month, but I was like, here's kind of how I'm processing this. Here's what I'm doing. And a lot of it was talking about playing defense and like looking at expenses. And she's like, that is so far different than what you would have done even just last year. And she's right. We have to go through this learning process sometimes. I'm a slow learner, quite frankly. I was late to the game when it comes to sustainable fat loss, making the same dieting mistakes over and over again until it was like so obvious that I couldn't ignore it anymore. And the same thing with business. You know, I didn't have any sort of a business background. I didn't have any sort of a marketing and sales background. So I had to make a lot of mistakes. And the best month, worst month paradigm hit me many times. And so that was the first thing that I explained is, you're very susceptible after your best month. You're very susceptible to the drop, because oftentimes there's this emotional high. You know, there's this big peak. Sometimes you put a lot of effort and do a lot of things that you typically wouldn't do. Maybe you like hit the gas pedal a little bit harder than you typically would. You're just susceptible. That goes for every aspect of life, by the way. You're the most susceptible. Like if you, like an athlete who has their absolute best season, they're the most susceptible right after that season for a letdown season or an injury or something like that. When you get your leanest, you know, your best ever physique, you are most susceptible to weight gain. It's just how it is. And oftentimes we process those things as if they're normal, even though they're our best and we've never done better than that before. But we now recalibrate as if that's normal, right? Like I hit a PR in the gym and it's like, oh, I deadlifted 500 pounds. Well, now every deadlift should be 500 pounds, but we know that that's not how it works. It's the same thing with financials. It's the same thing with your body composition. It's the same thing with anything in life. And that's the whole concept of the best month, worst month paradigm. But that's not really what I wanted to talk about. The conversation is really around the shift that's happened and how things have changed. Without a doubt, things have changed. And it's not as easy as just making an offer. It's not as easy as just getting somebody on the call and making an offer. Now, this particular coach that I was talking to, their whole funnel, super simple. By the way, simple is always the way to go. But there were not a lot of steps to this funnel. The funnel was very basic. It was Facebook ad to send people to a Facebook group, and then they would collect information before people would join the group. And then they would do most of the conversations through text. So they would collect as many phone numbers as they could for people who would come into the group. And then it was all text. Text about goals, ask a bunch of qualifying questions, and then get those individuals on a call and then close. And the price point was somewhere between 6 to 10K, depending on the program length. And, you know, they scaled that all the way up to a $250,000 month. And he was like, I just thought it was going to keep going like that because it seemed to be very scalable. And the funnel itself is very basic. Like, of course, you could just pour more money into ads, get more people into the group, have more people doing the text outreach, setting the calls, have your closers close. But what happened? Well, less qualified leads were joining over time, less and less qualified leads. Closing percentage was continuously going down. ad spend was getting higher and they weren't converting as well. So the return on ad spend kept going down, right? So they found themselves in a position where profit margin disappeared, right? You have to pay the coaches. You have to pay the setters who are booking the calls. You have to pay the closers. Did I say? You have to pay the coaches, you have to pay the closers, you have to pay the setters, right? Then you have to pay Facebook for the advertising. It's a very basic funnel and it was doing really well. And by the way, this isn't like a story of somebody who had razor thin profit margins that disappeared. This company was operating at 40% profit margin, which is amazing. 40% profit margin for a company of that size, for a coaching business of that size is incredible. However, it went from 40 to zero. And that's real. Again, you can look at these stories and you can think, oh my God, what am I going to do? Or you can look at it as this is the nature of the marketplace shifting, which when it's all said and done, it will be a net positive. But there are certain caveats and there are certain things that we have to understand because what's taken place, and by the way, this is not just me saying it. People who are way, way, way more successful than I am. My mentor, I have two mentors right now. One of my mentors was on a call or was it an in-person event? She was at an in-person event. So it was my mentor who was at an in-person event with some like top tier marketing people who are doing like 9 and 10 figures. And they were making this statement that said, the marketplace has changed. Now, their theory, which is very much in alignment with my theory, before even hearing this, this was my theory, and their assessment just kind of confirmed it. They said, the marketplace has become way more sophisticated and way more saturated, which is great news. It actually is great news because a more sophisticated consumer means that we have the opportunity to enroll better clients. And a saturated marketplace means that the bullshit gets weeded out. And why that's important is because if the consumer is more sophisticated and the marketplace is more saturated, they're not going to settle for the same old bullshit that they've heard a million times over. That means that the people who have invested their time and energy into their messaging and their service, meaning I deliver an amazing fucking product, an amazing service, I get great results for my clients become raving fans. That's step one. And then there's the messaging, which is I know how to clearly articulate that process to attract the exact people that will get the best results from what I do. That's what we're seeing based off of market sophistication and market saturation. You cannot get by anymore with just being a coach with an offer. That honestly, that's all it took, like as little as 2 years ago, maybe three. As little as 2 to 3 years ago, you could be a coach with an offer and you could do really well. Now you have to be a coach who undeniably gets great results. So that way you get referrals and walking testimonials and your lifetime value for your customers is high because they want to stay with you. They want to keep learning and implementing with you. And when they are ready to graduate, they're like telling everybody, okay, you know, I got this result. I can do this on my own. You have to go see, you know, work with this company, that sort of thing. But also, you have to be able to communicate and articulate what you do in a way that stands out, which is, again, this is a good thing. However, as a coach, as a business owner, this is also the time where you are vulnerable. I'll just say we are vulnerable because I'm trying to navigate the same landscape as well. Now, I feel really good about the fact that messaging is my shit and I take it very seriously and I work on it every single day of my life. I eat, sleep, and breathe it. It is something that I'm incredibly passionate about. So I feel very fortunate that messaging is the thing that cuts through all the bullshit. So, however, I am also trying to navigate a very, different landscape. So we, as coaches, as business owners, are very susceptible and vulnerable right now. And what I mean by that is there will be marketers out there, coaches out there, and they're going to prey on the vulnerability of this time, of the change in the marketplace. They're going to scare you and say, if you're not doing this one thing, your business is going to fail. Like, if you're not doing this one thing, and typically what that's going to look like is they're going to put some fancy label on it. They're going to dangle this carrot, right? It's going to sound really important. And you being the susceptible business owner and coach, you're going to be like, well, shit, I've never heard of that before. Maybe that's what I'm missing, because I'm having a hard time enrolling clients. I'm having a harder time, getting people to sign up. I'm getting more financial objections. I'm getting more tire kickers. I'm getting more leads who aren't qualified. So shit, it must be this one buzzword thing, right? Like, trust me, you don't have to look very long and hard and far. You'll see it, and you'll see it in a lot of places. Oh, if you don't have this blank thing in your business, then you're missing out and you're not going to be successful because whatever. Like, that's the type of thing that we are susceptible to as coaches right now. So just be mindful of that stuff. Make sure that you understand everything, right? Like, we have to level up our sophistication to match our marketplace's sophistication, because we're clients too, we're customers, and we are providers, right? We have to match that. So what that looks like is doing your due diligence and understanding somebody's process and how it works. Now, if they are hiding information, here's like the best litmus test ever. Okay. I'm going to give you the secret sauce right now. But you'll notice that when I say the secret sauce, I'm not hiding it. Okay. So this is the secret sauce revealed. This is kind of a meta right now. So when somebody tells you that they're going to solve your problem, okay, they're like, hey, I know you have this problem and I'm going to solve it. And however they try to dress it up, whatever fancy label or wrapper or frame they put on it, right? They're like, you have this problem, I'm going to solve it for you. And you get really excited, right? And then let's say however they deliver it, it doesn't matter. Let's say they deliver it in a PDF, or they do a free training. Hey, come to this free training, I'm going to explain how to solve this problem, right? Or they do a podcast episode, or they do an email, or they do a post, or they do a reel or a YouTube video. It does not fucking matter how it's delivered. The bottom line is, when they tell you, hey, you have this problem, I'm going to tell you how to solve it. And then you listen to their explanation and you're like, I still have the problem. Okay. That's the litmus test. That's the litmus test. If you listen and you hear what they have to say about solving the problem, and then you're like, but I still have the problem. That's the litmus test. The way that it should be delivered is that you can take what they just told you and go do it and solve the problem. And if you can't do that, that means that they're full of shit because they haven't actually given you the answer. They've given you either theoreticals, or they've given you abstract thoughts that make it sound really, really entertaining, or it's kind of like the cheap dopamine. It's like, you need this thing. And this thing helped my client Susie scale her business. And Joe Schmo got 50 calls booked. And it's just this one thing, and it's really cool how it works. But then you don't actually know how it works. or you kind of, sort of, maybe know, but it's not tangible at all. And then you're like, well, shit, I have all, like, I actually want to know how this works. And they're like, yeah, that's what you pay us for. No, that's not. In my opinion, that's not at all. What you pay for is implementation. So you get to choose. Do I want to take what they've given me and implement on my own? Or do I want to implement with them? That's what they're like. That's the key. The reality is you should be able to take the concept and implement it on your own. So I'll give you an example of that, real life example. Okay. I teach something called the belief shifting framework. It's like my signature framework for writing copy. Okay. So the way that the belief shifting framework works is you think about the main situation or big problem that your client, your ideal client has. So for most coaches, it's, you know, some kind of weight loss or autoimmune condition that they want to reverse symptoms, or they want to build a certain amount of muscle or whatever. But they're in this situation where they have 30 pounds to lose or 50 pounds to lose, or they want to, you know, reverse their symptoms of Hashimoto's or PCOS or whatever. Or, you know, postpartum, they want to get their body back. All those things are like the big dream outcome or the situation that they're in that they don't want to be in anymore. Okay, so now we identify all of the little problems that have led to their current situation. Why are they 30 pounds overweight? Why are they 50 pounds overweight? Why do they have all of these symptoms, right? And so we just list out all of these little problems that led to the big problem that they don't, that they want solved, like the big dream outcome that they want or the big problem that they have. My mentor calls it the situation. It's like it's a situation versus a problem. The situation is, damn it, I'm in this situation where I want to lose 30 pounds. All the little problems are what led to the situation. So hopefully that helps you to conceptualize. In the belief shifting framework, we take one of those problems, one of those micro problems, as I call it, micro problems, and we give them insight. So the first thing that we do is we align with their version of the problem. So what a lot of coaches do is they'll come right out of the gates with a diagnosis. You know, you're in this problem because blank. But what's more effective is if you align with the way that the ideal client views the problem. So let's just say one of their problems is they can't stop snacking and overindulging at night. That's one of the problems that led to being in the situation of being 30 pounds overweight. Okay. In their mind, they say to themselves, well, I just can't control myself when I come home at night and I raid the cabinet. Okay. So now we would say, ever feel like you can't control yourself after a hard day at work? You come home and you have zero control around food and you raid the cabinet and eat everything in sight. Does that sound familiar? Right now I've aligned with their version of the problem. And now I can help them solve it. So first I can give insight into what's causing it. And this is part of the belief shifting framework. So the insight is, I know that you might think you have no control, but what I found in my experience is that most women struggle with snacking at night after a stressful day because they have been restricting themselves so much during the day. And typically, your body is craving more energy, you're underfueled, and when you're stressed and there's an energy debt, your brain and your body are going to fight like hell to fill that gap, right? So I'm giving them an insight into what might be causing the problem. Here's what's causing it. It's not that you're a flawed person. It's not that you don't have willpower. It's simply that you're skipping breakfast. You're not eating a real lunch. You grabbed a protein bar for breakfast and you didn't have time to eat at work. So now you're coming home after a long day and you are just deprived and you are in an energy debt and your body and your brain are fighting to close that gap, right? So now I'm giving them an insight. And now I give them the solution. So here's how to solve that problem. Here's one thing that you can do that you can implement right now that will help you solve that problem. Well, the first thing that you can do is stop restricting yourself all day. What we have to remember is that if there's no energy debt, you're going to be way more likely to feel in control around certain foods. So the first thing that I want you to do is make sure that you're taking the time out for a high protein breakfast, at least 30 grams of protein. Here are some options that you can try. Well-balanced breakfast, right? And then that's going to help start the day on the right foot. Make sure that you either bring your lunch with you. If you have a busy job, you don't have time, make sure you bring your lunch with you. Or here are some quick options that you can have on the go, whatever. Like, I'm just helping them with the solution. And then I can also say, you know, once you're eating enough early on in the day, we also have to make sure that you're eating enough overall, enough protein, enough calories overall. And it also helps to have some other outlets lined up when you're in a stressful situation, because sometimes it's just an automatic behavior that when you're stressed, you go to food because it's convenient, it's reliable, you know it's going to be there for you. So what I want you to do is I want you to try next time you come home after a long day at work, all I want you to do is just put a note on the cabinet. So you're going to put a sticky note on the cabinet and all it's going to say is go for, walk out of the room, count to 10 before you open me. Okay. So I want you to try that. You're going to put the sticky note on the cabinet. It's going to say, walk out of the room, count to 10 before you open me. Right. We're just trying to create a pause so that you can make a more informed conscious choice. Right. So you're giving them all of this, by the way. And now I have the whole thing outlined of problem, insight into what's causing it, solution, and then I have the option of transitioning that into what I do with my clients. So I can go into detail about, hey, this is just one part of the process that I use with my clients, and here's how it all works, right? So the reason why I'm sharing this is because you can just go do it. You don't need anything from me. You can just go do the belief shifting framework. I just gave it to you. I spell it out all the time. If you're a coach and you're on my coach's email list, you've probably seen the exact framework for the belief shifting framework in my emails at least a dozen times, because that's not the only topic that I talk about. But the bottom line is I follow this formula. I share all the things. There's nothing hidden. There's no secret to it. So when you come into one of my programs and you go to learn about the belief shifting framework, it's the same. There's no big reveal. There's like, not like a, haha, I left this one part out because you had to pay for it. But now that you're in here, no, you get it. You get the whole thing. You hear me say it. You hear me write about it. That is what I mean by you can go solve the problem. So your problem being, my messaging is not attracting in any clients. I don't know what to write about. I find that I'm getting no applications for coaching or inbound leads for coaching, all that stuff. So I gave you the solution. Here's how to do it. You just follow that formula. Now, there will be a certain amount of people who are like, okay, I want help doing it. I know that I could go do that on my own, but I want implementation help. And guess what? Those are the coaches that have joined my private coaching program where I review all of their copy and I do edits and I do Loom videos and I explain their whole strategy. And they send me their emails, they send me their copy, and I review the whole thing, break it down, edit, and then give it back to them. Because those coaches know that they could do it on their own, but they want to pay for implementation. So here's an interesting thought. Have you ever heard the line, people that pay attention? People that pay attention. Have you ever heard that line? Yeah. So I'm about to shatter this whole paradigm right now. There are people who value time over money. There are people that value money over time. The people that value their money over their time means they have a lot of time and not a lot of money, or the ratio is in favor of time. Because we value what is scarce. We value what we don't have much of. So if we don't have a lot of money, but we do have a lot of time, we are going to value money over time. Hopefully you're tracking with me so far. Then there are people that value time over money. The people that value time over money have a lot of money, don't have a lot of time. So they will gladly pay money to get some time back. Now, with the messaging and content strategy that I teach, where we give away the solution and we hide nothing, we reveal it all, we share everything that we do, we are respecting both resources. We're respecting time and we are respecting money, because the person who values their money is looking at this and saying, thank you so much for not making me pay for this information. Thank you so much for just delivering it to me for free, because now I know how to solve my problem and I didn't have to pay for it. And then we have the people who value their time and they're like, thank you so much for this information. How do I get your help implementing it so that I don't have to think about it and waste time on my own? The line or the saying, people that pay attention, is basically only talking about people who really don't have that much money. So the irony is that a lot of coaches who have this mantra and they have this philosophy and they try to convince people that pay attention, attract the people that don't have the money to spend on their service. How ironic. The coaches, I know some of you listening right now are like, ah, shit, that's me, right? Think about it. You're talking in the context of people that pay attention, which would mean that they value their money over their time, which means they don't have as much money as they do time. Now, think about the flip side of that. How many people do you know, maybe it's yourself, how many people do you know that have lots of money that want to pay to not have to pay attention? They literally want to pay to not have to pay attention. Like, no, can I just pay you so I don't have to think about this myself? I don't want to book my own flights and schedule my own transportation and, oh, I'm just going to pay an assistant to do that because I don't want to pay attention. I'm paying to not pay attention. Literally, think about who you're targeting. When you are speaking to the whole people that pay attention, you're speaking to the people that value money over time. The people that value time over money are paying to not pay attention. Those are the people that are going to look at your content and they're going to be like, I don't feel like listening to all your podcasts and all your videos and all your things. I just want you to walk me, like, do it for me so I don't have to pay attention. Just, I don't want to think about it. I don't want the mental stress. You do it. You pay attention to my nutrition. You just tell me what the fuck to eat. You put together my meal plan. Hopefully this is creating a little bit of a light bulb moment or a big light bulb moment, because I know it did for me. This is why I teach what I teach. This is how you're going to pivot in a marketplace that has shifted. Your front-facing content should solve problems and hold nothing back. Show people, demonstrate, give them an inside look of what it looks like to work with you. Give them the answer. Give them the solution. Don't hold anything back. So I started this by saying this is the litmus test. The litmus test is if you are being told that you're getting a solution, if you're being told that you're getting a solution and you walk away feeling like you have more problems than solutions, feeling like you have more questions than answers, that is a red flag. You should be able to see how to implement on your own. You should be able to see the path. You should be able to see how it works. You should almost be able to touch it and feel it because it's so concrete that I can just go do it. And the only thing that you're paying for is implementation so that you don't have to think about it as much. Every step of the way up the ladder, when we get more and more access, it gets quieter and quieter. Think about it. Like a lot of times what happens is coaches will say, well, I want to do this, you know, high ticket. Like, I don't know, maybe they're selling a program for $2,000. And they're like, I want to sell a program for $5,000. And immediately the coach thinks, I have to add more things. I just have to add stuff. I'm going to put all these videos, all this education. I'm going to put all these modules. I'm just going to add more and more and more and more stuff. And typically what happens is that the high paying client who's paying $5,000 doesn't watch a single fucking video, doesn't watch a single module, doesn't read any of your resources. Why? Because they're paying to not pay attention. They don't want more work. They don't want more time to spend consuming shit. They want implementation. Just drown out all of the noise. Save me time by telling me the thing that I need to do. So it's actually the opposite. At the bottom, where there's the low ticket, that's where it's more stuff, okay? Because they're required to do a little bit more of the figuring out. As you ascend somebody to a more exclusive one-on-one environment, it should be less noise. It should be pretty quiet. It should be very actionable and just, this is what you need to do. Like, I came to a call, I had a problem, and you solved my problem. And then the following week, I came to another call, I had another problem, and you solved that problem. And yes, I absolutely want to keep coming to these calls to keep having my problem solved. That's how it works. I hope this is connecting. The bottom line is the shift that is happening. If you want to stand out, be the coach that puts everything on the front-facing content and you solve problems and it's very clear how you solve them and who you solve them for, what the process looks like. Give them the solution. Respect the time and money resource. The people that value their money because they don't have a lot of it will be very grateful that you gave them a solution that they can implement. And by the way, they will also become raving fans and will send you people because you helped them without them having to pay a dime. You respected a resource that they value. And the people that value their time will want to jump to the front of the line and say, I'm not going through all this stuff. I want implementation. Let's do it together. You hold my hand. I don't want to pay attention. We got to get out of that mindset of the people that pay attention. That's only certain people. And typically, it's the people that value their money over their time because they don't have as much of it. I hope this is making sense. This might break a few brains because, again, I speak out against stuff that is such commonplace. in our little bubble, our little fitness and nutrition bubble. But just because it's common, that doesn't make it right. Just because most marketers try to tell you the fancy, you know, oh, dangle the carrot, give them the buzzword, all the bullshit that you hear, just because they don't reveal their process and then you have to pay tens of thousands of dollars to find out that it was a shit process and you should have really just figured it out beforehand. Like, just because stuff is common, that doesn't make it right. And again, this is really just to try to be helpful so that you can make an informed decision, so that you can adapt as the marketplace adapts. And the beauty of it is when you focus on this style, you have actual freedom, because dialing in your messaging and being the coach that reveals everything and solves real problems, that works in every phase, in every market cycle. And this shit always goes in cycles, by the way. One of the best things you can do is just weather the storm. But honestly, regardless of what phase or cycle we're in, dialing in your messaging and showcasing how you solve problems and doing that consistently over and over again, that will survive any phase or season. So anyway, if you just think about how my program is set up, I have my $97 a month program. That's the collective. Okay, so this is a perfect example. Front end collective, there's a lot of stuff, like an overwhelming amount of stuff. There are templates for days, like done for you email templates, done for you email sequences, done for you landing pages, you know, like so many different things that you can just plug and play. Okay. And, you know, I have my support chat and everything, and I'll try to help out with direction and questions and all that stuff. But that's the low ticket entry point. There are a lot of things that you can consume in there. There's, you know, training modules, there's videos, there's all of the resources, there's checklists, there's guides, there's template, like all the things. Then the level up from that is my private coaching group. The private coaching group gets one call every other week. So it's a bi-weekly call. They get two copy reviews per week, right? And then our private chat. But the reason why they keep showing up is because implementation every single week, and then problem solving every single call every other week. And then I have one-on-one, and the one-on-one is even more quiet. It's even quieter because we do, well, I guess technically we do like three calls a month, but it's very specific. It's very tangible of this is what we need to work on right now. And here are the things that you're just going to go do. And then you're going to come back to me after you did it. And then we're going to do the next thing. And now there's, you know, with the one-on-one access, there's stuff that I will do for them, like, you know, writing certain things and building certain things. But for the most part, it's very quiet. It's just, here's what needs to be done. Go do it. And then you come back to me and here's what needs to be done, go do it. So it gets quieter with each level. And what's also happened is that the access gets shut off at a certain point. So the people who are in one-on-one, I've had to turn down three one-on-one clients. I shouldn't say have. I have chosen to. Three different inquiries over the past couple of weeks for one-on-one. My one-on-one rates are not cheap. My one-on-one rates are not cheap. I've turned down three, which is significant. Plus, I've had people inquire about the group program. That is also shut down for access right now. So the demand has exceeded the supply, And I intend to keep it that way. Not just because it's not like a marketing tactic. It's literally, I want to be able to deliver for my current clients. And I also want there to be a level of exclusivity to working with me. I don't want it to be a commodity. I don't want to be lumped in with any other coach out there. There is a method to the madness here. At some point, I don't know when, at some point, the collective will be capped. There will be a wait list for that as well. At some point, that's not a near future thing, but I already have that plan in the back of my head. So you can see like the things that I talk about, I always do it. There's a certain congruence. Like I'm always skeptical of people who are, I see them talking about business strategies and I'm like, you never fucking did that. You never did that. Why are you telling people that this was how you did XYZ? Like, I know you didn't do that. Anyway, just be careful out there. Do your due diligence. And when in doubt, solve problems and reveal everything. Don't hold back. Tell people how you do it. Give them the answer. That's all I got today. Hopefully this was helpful. I have a feeling there might be some minds melting. But either way, if not, that's cool too. You know where to find me if you have questions, and I will talk to you next time.